Christian greetings to each one. It's a blessing to have the presence of each of you this morning. As I think about all that have gathered in, my mind goes to the fact that God has an interest in each life that is here this morning. God has a work for each one. He has a plan for each life that is here. And it's fitting this morning that we find ourselves gathered into God's house to worship around His Word, to again be, yes, instructed, encouraged, challenged. When I stand and I look into the faces of an audience like this, so often I realize that the needs among us are about as many as the people that are here as well. And as a minister, I'm challenged sometimes in wondering what to share, because there are young folks that need encouragement in the things that concern them and their lives. There are middle-aged people who need encouragement and challenges in the things that concern the year of time that they find themselves in. And then there's older folks. And this morning, I trust that the message that I'd like to share with you is going to give each one some inspiration, yes, some whatever you stand in need of this morning. I trust that God will take the word and will apply it to your situation. God has promised, and I find comfort in that, God has promised that my word will not return to me void. But as the word goes out and the Holy Spirit connects with our spirits, I believe that God can take the same word, same words, same applications sometimes, and He can, yes, just fit it right into our hearts and into our lives and meet the needs that are there. I covet your prayers this morning as we look into God's word. You may open your Bibles to Judges, the book of Judges. We're going to spend all our time. I'd like to do something different. I'd like to consider a man's life and learn some lessons from it this morning. It's what we call a character study sometimes, and I've chosen to take the life of Samson this morning. A man that God had a plan for. A man that God placed in earth and had a work for. And yet he was a man that so miserably failed. He made so many mistakes. He was a man that was bent on following his own lusts and carnality so much. And yet in spite of that, God used him. God had a plan, and God used him and started to deliver his people, which was God's plan in the beginning, started to deliver his people, even though I believe that he could have used Samson in many, many more greater ways had Samson been faithful in his life. I've tried to make the applications that there's some lessons that we want to learn from the life of Samson, and I've tried to make those applications this morning, some to fit the young folks, some to fit the older folks, and I trust that we can all learn from this morning. Judges 13 through about chapter 16 is the scope where we want to look at this morning, and it would be well to read all of that, but we won't do that. There's not enough of time for that. I'd like to read a number of verses in chapter 13 just to introduce where we are and introduce the life of Samson and the parents that were behind this life as well. Judges 13 and verse 1, "And the people of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine, nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou hast sent come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speaketh unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let the words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine, nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that it was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? That when thy saying come to pass, we shall do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou this? Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? We're going to see his reading there. It goes on to tell us then that Manoah did make an offering unto the Lord. I like to think first of all this morning about the purpose of Samson's life. We see that Samson was born as a result of God's plan in the lives of a couple that didn't have any children, that was the woman that was barren. God used this to bring about a man that was to do a mighty work for him. Samson was to do a great work for God. He shall be a Nazarite, it says in verse 5, unto God from the womb. This was a man that was supposed to be involved in God's work. God had a special work for this man to do. He had a special call. And it was a miracle that this man was born to this family, as it were. A Nazarite, maybe we should think about that a little bit, was one who took a vow. And he was set apart simply for God's service is what he was. In this case, in Samson's case, it was for life. He was dedicated to God from birth. And his purpose was to begin, verse 5 brings that out, I believe it is verse 5. Verse 5, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. That was the purpose that God had for him. We know that as we read through that, Israel's deliverance was not complete, the Philistines' pressure on the Israelites was not completely crushed. That opposition did not go away until David's day. It was many, many years later. And yet, here was a work that was for a man to begin to get involved in. Several things I'd like to just point out to you in the, as I think first of all about his parents. I just love the heart that I see in Manoah and his wife. When this announcement was made to them, the first thing that I see Manoah respond with was this request of, how shall we order this child? What is our responsibility? And I'm just blessed by that. I'd like to make that application this morning to all of us as parents. As God gives us children, may we truly have the heart to ask God how to order these children. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I know there's a lot of young families among us and parents that are wondering sometimes about the raising their children and how to order their lives. I'd just like to encourage you to do what Manoah did this morning. Seek God, because every life that comes has different needs and has a different little bit of a different nature, and there are going to be differences among your children, and what sometimes works for one doesn't always quite work for the other. And so we need to seek God and pray to God, and God will, and then rest in that God will give you wisdom and give you understanding. But I just wanted to point that out to you this morning. I think it's a very noteworthy. Verse 12, I see that in verse 8 where he comes with that question. Teach us, was Manoah's plea. Teach us what we shall do, unto the child that shall be born to us. And in verse 12, how shall we order the child and how shall we do unto him? It was a heart cry from Manoah. God, show us. I feel inadequate for this, is what he was saying. The normal heart cry of many, many parents. And I just encourage you with that. One of the first lessons that I believe that I see in this passage, as I consider Samson and the life of Samson, I believe that one of the things that we need to be very careful in is that as people today, we're just like Samson today. We are called to be involved in God's work as God's children, as servants. It came out in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Our life as Christians, as followers of God, is a life that has responsibility. And may we be faithful. I'd like to use this as the first lesson this morning. Be faithful in following God, even when we don't see, may I say, instant results of the work that we're involved in. As we look at, and that's going to come out more as we go through this morning, but as I look at the life of Samson, we don't really see the instant results of Israel being freed from the Philistines, which was the work. Yes, there's things that we're going to look at this morning that were a part of that. It was a part of the beginning of the work. But did that make Samson, my point is, did that make Samson's responsibility or job any more insignificant or any more less important, we might say? No, it didn't. Samson's work and beginning was important to this. Even though it took other men to finish the work, Samson did not necessarily finish the work. And I'd like to encourage us in that this morning. God's work is all taken up by men who have a vision. And it's not always taken up in the way that you and I think it should be taken up necessarily. God's ways are much greater than our ways. God's thoughts are different than our thoughts. Yes, as men, we look at things and we think we have our thoughts about it. But let's be faithful in leading out as we feel God calling us. We make quite a commitment in the last song we sang there. Where God leads, we will follow. Are you really sincere in that? I challenged myself as we were singing that song, and I thought about it. I was thinking about the message already, you know. It's one thing to get up and just sing that, but it's another thing to really mean what we're singing. We don't know where God may lead us, but are we willing to go there? Samson, yes, made a start, and Samson did follow after the ways of God. He knew his dependence upon God so many times, even though he failed, and we'll see that. He comes back to that again, that he finally did recognize that he had walked away from God and he needed God in his life again. And so this morning, my first lesson that I'd like to point forth from the life of Samson as we look at this is, let's be faithful in following God, even when we don't see the instant results. because it might just be beginning some important work that God will use, yes, other men to bring a closure to then. But let's be faithful as Samson was in that. I'd like to follow through the life of Samson a little bit now. In the second place, I'd like to show you some of the choices that Samson made. And the first one we're going to look at is now found in chapter 14, where Samson sees a woman and takes a liking to a person in his life that brought a lot of questions to those around him. Let's just read chapter 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and he told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then, and here's his response from his godly father, this man who had prayed that, you know, God show us how to order this child. You see where the father and the mother were at. Here he had a son now that comes with a request that in their minds, well, let's look at the father's response. Verse 3, then his father and his mother said unto them, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Samson was bent on having what he wanted. Samson saw the beauty of the woman. He was overtaken by his own passions, lust, pride, whatever. It was about me. And he was not willing to listen to the advice that his father gave him. And it says the uncircumcised Philistines. I don't know if we can even grasp this morning the disgrace that this would have been to these parents, to this son. And in light of the fact now yet that this man was called of God to be a special man to him. He was a Nazarite. He was one who was to be, yes, set apart and be involved in the things of God. Here's a failure that we see. Was it not a foolish thing of Samson to set his affections on a daughter of the Philistines, we would say? Shall one that is not only an Israelite, but a Nazarite, devoted to the Lord, covet to be with one who is an idol worshiper, who is everything the opposite of what he was supposed to be? But let's notice verse 4. It tells us, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. Oh, this was of the Lord. God was leading Samson to this woman. God led Samson to a woman that was going to be a disgrace to him. Yes, that's exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. But you see, God's ways, and here it goes back to my thought, that God's ways are so much different than our ways. And sometimes what we think is the way to go is not what God's planning. And that was what, and I want to make this clear this morning. As we look at the failures of Samson, I am in no way promoting the sin and the negative things that Samson did. There's positive aspects of them that I want to bring out this morning. And here's one of them. It says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines did have dominion over Israel. The Philistines were ruling the Israelite people, and Samson had, what are the words I should use? He had a feeling, or he had a special warning of God, or a special call of God, I guess I'll say, that this was a part of what he should do to get the opportunity to help his people get free from the Philistines. It was the beginning of the work. And I don't know how to put that all together, but I believe that's what was happening here. It seems so foolish to us that he would have done this. But it was of his marriage. This marriage is said to have been of the Lord. Now, God afterwards overruled this whole thing here to serve his design against the Philistines is what he done. I believe this morning that God put it into Samson's heart to make this choice that he might be able to have an occasion against the Philistines. And we're going to look at how that all started, what the process all started. There's a lesson in this, though, that I want us to pull out for ourselves. And this is the lesson that I believe is here. Being controlled by sensuality or by our fleshly lusts is what was happening to Samson. Carnal desires will always bring a payday. Mark it down. Our carnality. And we're going to see what happened to the life of to Samson because of this. Samson suffered much because of this. He had these moral failures brought a lot of hardship to the life of Samson. And it's not any different for us this morning. What a man soweth, there's going to be a reaping. There's always a reaping. We cannot get by the fact of a reaping for the sowing that we do when it's according to our own, yes, our own lust, desires, our own pride, our own sensuality, whatever it is. Carnal desires will always bring a payday. And it did in the life of Samson as well. I like to move on to the third thing that happens in Samson's life here in chapter 14 then. Not only did he end up marrying this woman, who we say he should not, but in verse 5 then, we'll go on reading the next number of verses, chapter 14 and verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. So Samson's going on down to the Philistines, going down to Timnath to take this woman that he saw that got the best of his heart and that he wanted for his wife. And he meets this lion as he's going there. And here's the special gift coming out that God had given Samson, and that was Samson's known for his strength. When we think about Samson, we think of his strength that he had and the things that he done. Well, that was a gift that God had given him. He gave him this special gift of strength. Samson used this strength that he had to face this lion and just to simply tear him apart. The victory over the lion was obtained without any difficulty, is what I gathered. He strangled that lion and he tore his throat as easy as he would have strangled a kid, it says. It was very easy for Samson to do. What are some of the things that I see in this that I believe are encouragements to us? Maybe not so much lessons for us, but they're encouragements this morning to us. I see this, first of all, I see it as a type of Christ. You know, Christ faced Satan, who is our roaring lion, who was his roaring lion. We have a number of instances recorded in the Bible. Matthew chapter 4, Satan led Jesus up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, it says. And when he had fasted 40 days, Jesus was and hungered. His strength was low. He was in a weakened condition. And Satan full well knew when to come at him. And then Satan comes on the scene and he tempts Jesus. And praise God this morning, Jesus didn't fall for the things that Satan brought his way. But he rebuked him and he was victorious over that. We know that story. I'd like to just say this morning that just as Jesus won the victory and just as Samson triumphed over this lion, we too can have strength. We too can have power. But dear ones, this morning, we need to be connected to the power source. We need to be connected to Christ. There is no temptation that God does not give us the strength to be victorious over when we are connected to him. And I'd just like to encourage us this morning. Yes, Temptations will come. We will face temptations. We will face the lions. But we can be like Samson, and we can be victorious over that. Now, when we're victorious over that, there's some lessons that I believe that we can learn. This morning, when you're tempted, and when you are victorious over that, do you stop and humbly thank God for that? Or do you go about boasting about the fact that you, most of us don't. We're usually thankful that, at least if we're sincere and really seeking to do it. But the points that I want to make are this about Samson. Did you notice in verse 6 it says, well, it tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he rent him as though it was a kid. And in, yes, the rest of that verse says, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Samson kept this to himself, and I see some lessons for us in that. Samson did not boast of the victory. The lesson I believe for you and I in that this morning is that modesty and humility. May I say it like this? Modesty and humility, I believe, make up the brightest crown of great performers, is what I wrote in my notes. If you and I want to be a great performer for Jesus this morning, we want to do a work for God, it's going to take modesty, humility, just realizing that our lives are here to be spent for God and that God is in charge. You know, Samson at this point in his life realized that God was with him. We see that here. Even though Samson had already made, and Samson was actually on the way down to take a wife that was in question. God had not left Samson at this point. God was still there. It was God that gave him the strength to tear the lion apart. Samson knew that. Well, that takes me on to the next point that I'd like to learn some lessons from. As we read on, we're not going to read it all. But Samson finally ends up being defrauded by the Philistines. Well, let's just read a few. He put this riddle forth in verse 12 of chapter 14. It says, and Samson said unto them, I will now put a riddle before unto you. If ye can certainly declare it unto me within 7 days of the feast and find it out, I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of raiment. But if ye cannot declare it unto me, then shall ye give me the 30 sheets and the 30 changes of raiment. And so he puts this riddle forth, and it had to do with the honey that we skipped a part of that. But as he came past the lion, the carcass of the lion that he had killed later on, he found the nest of bees, and he took of the honey and he ate. We know the story. And he uses that as his riddle to the Philistines. Of course, the Philistines were clueless. They didn't know anything about this. There was no way they were going to put this riddle together. And so Samson's wife, they come to Samson's wife and they threaten her. If you don't find out, get out of Samson what we need to know to find the answer to this riddle, we're actually going to kill you and your family, I believe was the threat that was there. And so this woman that Samson had taken for his wife is there before him day after day, nagging at him, weeping, and yes, trying to break Samson down and find out what the riddle is. And she finally succeeds in doing that. And therefore, Samson was the one that needed to come up with his part of the deal and the changes of raiment and all that he had promised them. You see, payday was starting to come into Samson's life for him. But this is a point, and there's a lot of applications we could make. I'm just quickly skimming over some of this. But this is a point I'd like to drive at. In verse 18, notice, and the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, this was after she had got out of him what the riddle was all about. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is sweeter than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. What Samson was saying here is that if you hadn't manipulated my wife, if you hadn't threatened my wife and her family, and if you hadn't manipulated this whole thing, you wouldn't have found out. You wouldn't have learned the answer to the riddle. You wouldn't have put this together. But because you did that, you found the answer. The point that I want to draw for our lives this morning is I believe the application to this is I see a type of Satan in this. Satan is the one who likes to, in his temptations, he loves to plow with our heffers, as it were. May I use those same words? Our corrupt nature is what he likes to use. He likes to come into our lives, and he knows our weaknesses. Every one of us this morning, he knows where we are probably the weakest. And that's where Satan will work in our experience. He loves to plow with the heifer of our corrupt nature. This morning, we are no strength for the enemy. Just like Satan was not, just like Samson was not, did not have the strength anymore, the fortitude to stand against this woman that was there to break down what Samson in his mind knew was wrong. And what Samson in his mind, and had Samson not even put himself into this position that he did it, it started prior to the woman in his life. It was a choice that Samson had made to let himself come here. But we see the breakdown that was happening and the way Satan works in our experience. It leads him right on into what took place in verse 19 then. Because of the defraud, Samson finds himself with this spirit of revenge. In verse 19 it says, "And the spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house." And then this his father-in-law actually took this woman that was his wife, now that he had given to his wife, and gave her to a friend of Samson's, because he thought Samson no longer wanted her. But what Samson done in his anger then, it turned into a revengeful scene on Samson's part. And this is the first part of that revenge. We'll see some more of that a little later. But he goes down to a city in a distance, and he kills men. And he takes the spoil, their garments, brings it back, and gives it to those to keep his part of the deal, as it were. There's a lesson in this that I'd like to bring out as well. Samson again returned to the strength, to the gift that God had given him, which was the strength that God had given to him. The lesson I'd like to draw out for us this morning is that great strength in one area of our life does not make up for great weaknesses in other areas of our life. It's a principle that we need to keep in mind. And I believe this morning, as I look into this audience, every one of us has some strength. There's strong sides to every character that is here this morning. But may I suggest that each one of us has a weakness as well. And it's so easy for us to excuse ourselves on the weaknesses and say, "Well, that's just my makeup. That's just the way I am." We'd like to say, "But look at my strength." The strength do not make up for the weaknesses. We need to acknowledge. See, the other thing that I see in this whole thing is Samson was using the gift that God had given him all for selfish reasons, for his own selfish purposes. Paul is telling us in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're not going to go there this morning, but the gifts of the church are for the edifying of the body, for the perfecting of the saints. And so this morning, dear ones, the gifts that you and I have are not to be used for my own selfish carnality and my own selfish desires and my own selfish life, but they are to be used for your benefit, and yours are to be used for my benefit. That's what God wants this morning. You know, Samson wasn't working on that principle at all. Samson was working for in light of himself and his own carnality and his own self. Well, we come over to chapter 15 now. And here Samson, because his anger is kindled in him, and because his father-in-law gave his wife to another man now, that Samson still was longing after and wanted. In verse 15, in chapter 15 and verse 1, it tells us, but it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife. He again went down, hopefully to see her, with a kid, and he said, I will go in unto my wife into the chamber. But his father would not suffer, but her father would not suffer him to do so. His father-in-law wouldn't let him do this. And his father-in-law then admits to Samson what he'd done. Well, I gave that daughter to another man. Why don't you look at my younger daughter, and we could go on into that. But Samson becomes very, very upset because of this. And it would be interesting to read all this. But verse 11 brings out the thought that I want on revenge this morning. It tells the whole story of, it tells in a nutshell, it tells the whole story of this whole chapter. 15 and verse 11, it says, then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Edom and said unto Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. Samson was being revengeful for the treatment he had got. And yeah, I should back up a little bit here and give you the part of the story that we're not going to read. But he caught these 300 foxes, and he tied their tails together, and he put fire to them, and he left them run, and he burnt. Destroyed their crops. He took their corn, simply destroyed their crops. It was a scene of revenge. Some lessons I'd like for us to learn from that. First of all, this morning, revenge is never right in any way or another for the mistreatment that we get. Revenge is an uncontrollable monster, is what I'm going to call it. And that's exactly what it ended up being in Samson's experience. Each act of retaliation just brings another. That's human nature is stirred, and we see that sometimes today yet. When something responds different than we think, then the next person responds, and it gets a ball rolling, and it just goes. And brethren and sisters, the only way that is brought into check and it is stopped is when we finally all quit. We all lay our own desire, our own nature down at the foot of the cross, and we cry out to God, God, what is your will for whatever the situation is? That's what Samson would have been much better off doing, but Samson, his own nature, was his own carnality, was still ruling, and he allowed that to go unchecked. The revenge cycle can only be halted by forgiveness. I appreciated Brother Dan's devotional thoughts this morning. In fact, as I pondered what I should preach this week, I earlier in the week thought I was going to simply preach a message on forgiveness. And I'm glad Brother Dan took the opportunity this morning to share what he has. But it's only as we stop and we consider what we are forgiven from, what Christ has done for us. Every one of us has been a sinner, needed forgiveness. We've all been in the revengeful state in our lives, and we need forgiveness, and we need to forgive others as well. And forgiveness may not be taken lightly, because it is painful, and it did cost. Yes, it does cost, like Brother Dan brought out. Another thing that I see in Samson's experience that I believe is a lesson for us, pride can cause us to take credit for work that maybe we have done only because of God's strength. You know, it was only because of God's strength that Samson could do all the things that we're looking at this morning. Had God not given him the strength, but at this point now, Samson was no longer looking at that. God, he had forgot about God. Pride had taken over. Well, let's go on to the sixth point that I'd like to make. this morning comes from chapter 16 then. And we know the story. I'm not going to read it, but we have another woman that comes that Samson sees, and he takes a liking to her, and her name was Delilah, and we know the account and the story. And the Philistines were now trying to get even. The revenge thing was going on. Samson had got revenge on the Philistines, and now they're after him. They want him. And of course, Samson is a man of mighty strength, and they're trying to figure out how to take him. And so Samson's now living his life with this woman of this next woman in his life of Joyce. And Delilah is again working at Samson to try to find out the secret of his strength. And we know the story, how they bound him with strong cords, and he tore him apart every time, and how that all went. Finally, Samson reveals the secret of his strength to Delilah, yes. Several things I'd like to just point out to us as it relates to this account now. We see that Samson, we see the progression of sin, first of all, I'd like to say, or the progression of the effects of Samson's choices in his life. Samson was now deceived because he wanted to believe in a woman that was not trustworthy. She was a woman who was, yes, she lied to him. And Samson was at the state of being deceived because, again, of his own carnality. Although Samson could strangle a lion, He could not smother, may I say, this burning lust or this desire for this woman that was now in his life, and see her for who she really was. And it was the very thing that finally brought Samson to the end of it, brought the end to it, and Samson could not actually be the person there or finish the work that God wanted him to finish. I'd like to make some applications to this whole scene. I probably should have taken the time just to read over this story, just to get it in our mind as we see the progression of how this woman again worked in his life. But his heart was with this woman, and he left his guards down, and he brought himself to a bitter end because of that. But I'd like to make some applications to this morning to our young people. There are many young people among us here who are at the stage of life where, yes, you're looking for companionship. You're looking for that special person in your life. Every man, God gives that desire within a heart to find a companion. And it's a good and it's a right desire this morning. But there's some lessons that we can learn from this relationship between Samson and Delilah here that I'd like to point out to you this morning. Number one is this: young men and young women that are at the age of considering a lifetime partner. Number one is you must decide what kind of person you will love before passions take over. It's just that simple. And what I mean by that this morning is before you get your passions or your heart set on an individual that you meet and it just flips your heart out and you cannot reason any better than, may I say, than what Samson did anymore, because it's just got the best of you. Before you get to that point, sit down and really consider what kind of life, where you want to be, what you want in the future, what kind of home life you really want, and decide in your heart what kind of partner it's going to take to have that kind of home life, to have a godly home, to have the blessings of God in your life. Because, dear ones, time goes on. Yes, when you find a special person that finally gets your affections and gets to your hearts, and you give your heart and your life to that individual will influence your life. And it will start making a pattern for your life. And life goes on, and life makes changes, And many people have come to the place where they have looked back and said, whatever brought me here? Why am I where I am? And had they maybe decided, made some considerations prior. And so again, I say you must decide what kind of person you will love before passion takes over. Number two, determine whether a person's character and faith in God are as desirable as their physical appearances. You know, in this case here with Samson and Delilah, if you read this story, and we should have done that, but it was the physical appearance that flipped Samson out, if I may say it that way. It's what it was. And he did not look at the character of this woman. He did not for long think what kind of person she is. It was again his carnality. It was again his fleshly desires. And I'd like to say this morning that I fear sometimes too many marriages are entered on that very same thing. May I be bold enough to say that this morning, that it's this beautiful woman or this beautiful young man that has it all, as it were. And it just flips the other one out. And there's very little consideration given to the character. What kind of person they really are in their inward life, their spiritual life. And so this morning I say that had Samson stopped and really considered who this woman was, he could have saved himself a lot of grief. And the applications are the same, young people, this morning. Determine whether a person's character and faith in God are, yes, as desirable as their physical appearance. Number three, don't allow anyone, no matter how attractive or persuasive, to talk you into doing what is wrong. Talk you into taking you down a wrong road, starting you on a wrong course. Don't allow that to happen. Yes, our enemy, this roaring lion, would like for that to happen. And he would like to bring, yes, even special partners into our lives that he knows are going to deceive us and take us down the wrong roads. Number four, and maybe you young people are starting to feel like, wow, I'm really giving you the lessons this morning. But as I studied this and as I thought about this, there's just a number of things that stood out to me, and I'm going to share them with you. In fact, this is the last one I'd like to share in relation to this. But number four, avoid falling prey to deceit by asking God to help you distinguish between deception and truth. And I say that today because we live in such a world where deception and truth are mixed through each other so much anymore that it's very hard to distinguish between the two sometimes. And I'm concerned and I'm burdened about that this morning. And so avoid falling prey to deceit by asking God to lead your life, by putting your dependence on God, by asking God to achieve, yes, in your life, the things that he wants you to have achieved, and pour out your heart to God what you would like to have as a partner and as a Christian home in the future and all that. Had Samson even thought about those things, he would have saved himself a tremendous amount of struggle. And we know the rest of Samson's story because his strength was gone. He found himself down at the mill grinding feet. Is what he done. And he suffered a lot. He suffered a lot because of that. But I like to jump over that, and it's time to bring this message to a close. I'd like to jump over that to one more thing. In chapter 16, and we're not going to read it, but read through this sometime. Verse 23 to the end of the chapter. In spite of Samson's past, God still answered his prayer and destroyed the heathen temple and its worshipers. God used Samson. Samson, God still loved Samson. We should look at least at verse 28 of chapter 16. It says, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once." This was kind of Samson's prayer of repentance is what it was. Samson was not on. He had his eyes taken out. He was a blind old man, a poor soul down there at the mill grinding feet for him day after day after day is where it had taken him. And Samson remembered his God. I pray thee strengthen me, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. There's still a part of me that says Samson was still in a revenge mode, and yet he remembered God, and it was his plea to God, and God heard him. God still loved him. God still was using Samson in spite of all this. He was willing to hear his prayer, confession, and repentance and use him in the final time. Well, Samson was used of God to start a work, like I said in the beginning, that was only finished many years later by other men. What's interesting to me, in spite of all the things that Samson got himself into, Samson is listed with the great heroes of faith in Hebrews. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Was Samson a saved man? He's listed with that group of heroes. Were they all saved men? They were held up for the faith that they had in their dependence upon God. This morning, there's many lessons we can learn from a life like that. My prayer is for each one of us this morning, and maybe you thought of some things this morning as we went through the characteristics of the life of Samson and some of the lessons that I shared. Maybe you saw some other lessons that apply it to your own life and heart. May God be praised. My prayer is this morning that we would learn from his life and that these lessons would be a strengthening to us and encouraging to us and upbuilding to us so that we would go on and be what God wants you and I to be. Let's kneel for prayer.